Let's open our Bibles again to 2 Kings, chapter 4. Just want to read one verse. Do you mind if we stand, please? I might not be able to, I might not going to be able to, but I'm going to try to be a blessing. I have no other purpose in my heart but to bless God's people. Verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elijah passed to Shunem. It fell on a day, amen, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned and tighter to eat bread. It says in the middle of the verse, where was a great woman. And with the help of God, I would like to preach a message tonight titled, A Great Woman. And this can be applied to men, and of course it can be applied to the church. A great woman. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I pray right now that you help me, forgive my sins, clean my heart, and let me be a blessing. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here the Bible mentions a woman, and it doesn't give us her name, only that she was a great woman. Do you wonder why the Bible calls this woman a great woman? Was she a prophetess? A prince? Did she belong to the royal family? Or had a position in the kingdom? None of the above. We will see later, she was just a commoner. A lady that lived in Shunem, which was part of the tribe of Issachar. People that were given to husbandry, to toil the ground, to carry big burdens. It is said that the tribe of Issachar were people that had no interest in politics or in government, but just work the soil, labor, hard labor. Why then? The Bible calls this woman a great woman. First of all, with all my heart, I believe that the Bible calls this woman a great woman because of her generosity and her love for the man of God. I would say this again. I believe the Bible calls this woman a great woman, first of all, because of her generosity. If you want to take time when you go home, find the synonyms of generosity, and one of them is greatness. Why we say that we have a great God? I know He's huge, He's big, but why we say He's a great God? Because of His generosity. He's the greatest giver. She was a great woman. Not only because of her generosity, but because of the love she had for God's men. I had to say something here. This woman had a special love, respect, and I can use the word in the good sense, adoration, admiration, reverence to God's men. Did I say briefly last night? Let me repeat it again. The greatest times that the Church of God has ever seen is when God's people had the utmost respect for God's men. Let me say it again. There will be no church with revival, with blessings, with the presence of the Lord, unless God's people have respect and admiration and reverence for God's men. We live in a wicked world that every time they have a chance, they make fun of preachers. They ridicule them. They put them down. I mean, the comedians, the media, the movies. And that won't be too bad as when God's people join them and try to trash God's men. I say, I thank God for God's men. I say, I was lost and undone without Christ, and God's men came to where I was and preached to me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I got gloriously saved, and my life was changed, transformed. What a difference a preacher made in my life. She was a great woman. I would say, like Deborah said, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Preachers are of a special breed. I love preachers. I said it last night, I have a family of preachers. Everybody, every single boy wants to be a preacher. I've been preaching 46 years. And there is not a single soul on earth that ever heard me, trashing a man of God, even if I disagree with him. Even if I don't like the way he operates, I still will respect him, and I will do anything I can to be a blessing to God's men. I said it and I say again, men, one of the reasons why most young people and children are not interested in the mission work or in preaching in the ministry is because all the complaints they hear. There's no complaints here. God's been good to us, brother Joe. I mean, what a blessing to be a preacher. I mean, the God that pulled me out of the garbage can, pulled me out of the business, my own business, and called me to the ministry and allowed me to preach. He only knew what I was. What a privilege to be preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, you want to be blessed. You want to feel the presence of God. You want to see the altar filled with tears. Those times will come when God's people respect God's men. She was a great woman. I'll give him the message in a minute. Just wait. I love this passage. Let me say first about this woman. Look what it says in verse 9. And she say unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. First of all, I would like to preach on her perception. She said, I perceive that this man is a man of God. There's something in my heart that tells me that this man is a man of God. And I need the man of God. I say, I need the man of God. The man that will answer to the Lord for my soul. The one that will feed my soul. The one that will pray and preach to my wife, to my children. I love the man of God, and this is a man of God. I perceive that this is a man of God. Second, she perceived his testimony. She say, a holy man of God. Lord have mercy. We live in a day and age that some of this criticism to preachers, towards preachers, some of us are guilty of it. We must live separately, holy unto God, clean, pure, that the people will trust us with their souls, with their family. Pastor mentioned that I worked with the Indians, the Aztec Indians, for many years, over 27 years. And you should see, when I go to the mountains, preacher, when the old Indian ladies come, they look at me, they come, and they go like this. You know what that means? You know what that means? You're precious to me. You men of God, you're precious to me. I just want to talk to you. Let you know that I appreciate you. Thank you for coming to my village. Thank you for bringing me the gospel. Thank you for bringing me the Bible. Thank you for preaching to my soul. We have become charlatans, clowns, you name it. We need holy men of God that will concentrate their lives. We'll run just wait a little bit, okay? I might swing one, but I'll hit it a minute, okay? You behave. She perceived not only that he was a man of God, she perceived his testimony that he was a holy preacher, but also she perceived his consistency. Continually, often. And I like this. And I have to say this. Bro Hill, the first time that I came to America, about 40 years ago, the first preacher that I ever met was Brother Gene Wise Hart. That's 40 years ago. And what a blessing to be associated with men that stay at it consistent, continually. Years gone by. You see, this lady, I perceive that this man, continually, he rain or shine, in wellness or in sickness, he goes. He keeps going. He keeps going. About God's business. The same week that I met Brother Weishard, I went to Florida, the same week. That's about 40 years ago, and I met Chuck Hollowell. He's still preaching. I preached for him Sunday, and that Sunday he called Brother Scotty Drake. He said, Brother Scotty, I got a Mexican missionary. Will you have him for a service? And I went to fellowship. Brother Scotty was the pastor then. Preacher, I'm talking about 40 years. 40 years. What a blessing to see God's man sticking to it. Staying with the stuff. Staying with the stuff. Rain or shine. Regardless. We are here to say. Not only did she perceive that he was a man of God, she perceived his testimony. He was holy. His consistency. But I like this one a lot. She perceived his need. His need. She said, this man, Brother Shem, needs our help. He's God's man. He's a prophet. He's a preacher. And he needs our help. From Jezreel, where he lived, to Mount Carmel, depends on which side of the city you live, had to be around 40 miles. On foot, it's at least 2 days' journey, maybe 3 days' journey, going through the mountains. And there was a time when Elijah will go with no stopping. But Brother Chan, time had come that Elijah could no longer keep going. And he needed a place to rest. And this great woman saw his need. And she said, let's do something for God's men. I hope you stay with me. Not only I see her persuasion, but secondly, her perception, but secondly I see her persuasion. And this, I love it. I like it. I like it a lot. I like it. Look what she said. She said to her husband, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. That when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in tighter. She perceived his need, but also her persuasion, and I like this one. Probably you haven't got it yet. I hope you already got it. But she say, let us. She was not bossing her husband. You do it. Come on. Do something. Some of us need that. Amen? But she say, honey, this is a man of God. And he needs our help. Can I say this? And this is, I love it. This is simple, but at the same time it's deep. Look, I thank God for a woman that is willing to push her husband to do more for the work of God. Woo! 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 You know, I know not many, but few, the other way around. That when the husband wants to do something for God, they try to stop him. And they want him saved, but not that saved. Not that much saved. You won't believe, I had to admit it, but I have a woman that from time to time, if a missionary comes by or a man of God comes by us, and he's about to go, and she sees that I didn't do anything for him. Run. She will always say, honey, aren't you going to do anything for him? I know a few men that their lives had been destroyed because the woman would not follow them. I know I can mention, I won't mention their names, but I know at least two men. One of them is doing fine financially. He owns a business. He has made millions of dollars. But in spite of having a fancy house, in spite of driving a brand new car, in spite of having money in the bank, he's miserable because one day God called him to preach and his wife refused to go along with him. Thank God for the woman willing to push the husband to do more for God. She said, honey, if you do it, I'll help you. Let's build a small chamber. I mean, I help you. I give you the 2x4s. You nail them down. I help you. I do whatever. I will help you. I have a... Pardon me if I say this. I had to say it. But in our ministry, we support several missionaries. Around 25 missionaries, probably more. But every first week of the month, we send them their support. And we have special needs too. My wife is a diabetic. Sometimes we don't have enough to buy the medicine. Sometimes, most of the time, God always supplies. Sometimes He just tests us a little bit. But I never heard her one time saying, can we keep this month or some of this support? As a matter of fact, I do not send the support. She does it every single month. She goes by herself, different banks, and deposits the money. And there goes the money to the mission field. Because we believe in reaching others with the gospel of Christ. We believe in supporting missions. We believe in supporting preachers. Her persuasion. Honey, let us do it. And I would say this. Let me give you the next one. And I already mentioned it, but now I'm going to give the details. Her provision. Not only her perception, her persuasion, but her provision. Look what she did. Wow. She provided. I'd say she, her husband, and her, a little chamber, a refuge for the storms, a bed to rest, a table to eat food, a stool to study, and a candlestick. Wow. Her provision was very simple, but very proper. Somehow, she knew that Elijah will be satisfied with something small. Can I say that again? Somehow she felt that Elijah was not in the ministry trying to get something out of it, but trying to put something in it. As a matter of fact, I don't know if she knew or not, but she perceived that Elijah, would you believe this? Elijah once was a rich man. I knew I was going to catch you by surprise. But he was a rich man. He was a rich man. The Bible says that he was working in the land with 12 yoke of oxen. Now, to have 12 yoke of oxen, he had to have a lot of land. He had to own a lot of land. And had to have a lot of money. And you say, well, probably he was working for someone else. No. And let me prove it to you, okay? I'll prove it. You will agree with me. If he did not own the yoke of oxen, will he burn everything and sacrifice the oxen? And give it charity with the poor? Will he do that? Her boss will kill him. But he owned the thing. And he turned back. He turned his back and everything he had to follow the man of God. About 18 years ago, I went preaching in West Virginia. Any good ever come in West Virginia? I didn't hear, man. I preached for Brother Ron, Griffith Creek. It's about 18 years ago. Then about 1 year later, 2 years later, accidentally, I ran into him in the airport in I don't know if it was Tampa or was Orlando. I ran into him. And I look at him and say, hey, this is Brother Brown. And we shook hands, and I look at him, and I can tell, Brother Scott, I can tell Brother Brown had problems. He was wrestling with something. He was, I mean, I can tell. And then we began to talk. And he said, just pray for me, Bro Humberto. I have a decision to make. I have a good job, good paying job. I have all the benefits, health insurance. I have security for my family, for my wife, my two children. But I feel in my heart that God is calling me to go full time for the Lord. And he did. He said, just pray. We pray. And I'm glad. I'm glad to be a friend of a man willing to leave everything this world has to offer to serve the Lord. Elijah. Probably this one is the one that I like the most. The next. Number three, number four. And you're going to say, I'm going to catch you by surprise too. But her petition. We've seen her perceiving, persuasion, her provision. But now I can see her petition. When she did all this for the men of God, the man of God came and asked her, what do you want me to do for you? Wow. You want me to speak to the king? What do you want me to do for you? And then, you know what was her petition? None. Her answer was, I live amongst common men. I'm not asking for anything. Everything that I done it because I love the Lord. I'm not looking for a prize. I'm not looking for people to clap their hands. I'm not looking for the approval of men. Whatever I do it for the honor and glory of God and for wanting to be a blessing to God's men. I can't care less. You don't have to ask for me anything. What a blessing it is to be involved working with men. That all they do it only because they love the Lord without expecting anything in return. If I ever get crowned in this earth, or not, that's none of my business. I'm going to serve the Lord. I know a preacher for a long time. He's no longer a preacher. But Brother Scotty, the other day I went to see him because I have memories. And this man was crying and saying, nobody remembers me. All the things that I did for this man and this man and this man, and nobody's doing anything for me. They don't even call me. They don't even pass by. They don't even remember me. And I say to him, all those things that you did you do them so that the people will be grateful to you? Or you did it because you love the Lord and you want to please the Lord? If you done that, you should be happy. You should be satisfied. There's no complaint. If anybody remembers or no, remember there's a God in heaven that sees everything you do for His glory. And He has got books and He writes things down. And He will remember anything you do for the Lord. One more thing and I'm done. A great woman. I would like to see Leslie, her prize. In Mexico, we use the word premiation. She's got a prize for all that, even though she was not looking for it. First of all, her story was written in the eternal book, the Bible. You see her? Wow. Her story was recorded in the eternal book of God. Another of her prizes, God gave her a child. Wow. Her goods were restored. And in memory of her, especially in the United States of America, there are thousands and thousands of churches that have what we call prophets' chambers in memory of what this great woman did. Will you be a great woman, a great man, a great church? Let's bow our heads. Let's all stand, please. Bow our heads.